right home. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again. This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 880. My name is Lisa Sheps, as it is on most Wednesdays, and I am joined by fabulous, marvelous, stupendous guest host, Trace Turner.
Hello, hello, hello. Glad to be back.
You are listening to the two of us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby, streaming live at KOOP.org.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh, yeah.
Soon you won't even, no, you won't even recognize your own town. I'm talking about neon signs, smoke-filled rooms.
It is Wednesday, June 10th, 2026. On the show today, we have City Theater Company and their show, A Raisin in the Sun. And then later on, we'll be talking to Dirty Gold Theater and their show, Insomnia Cafe. And of course, we're going to have lively discussions of the world of theater in Austin, New York, Baltimore, and Schmigadoon. We'll be right back.
Y'all know, my great-great-granddaddy founded Schmigadoon when he came upon this beautiful tract of land and said, they'll never find us here. But it pains me. Oh, it pains me to see our town slipping away right before our very eyes. I tried to alert the mayor, but his mind was elsewhere. In his pants! His poor wife was so ashamed she locked herself inside her house. And this time on purpose. I'm sorry, Florence. New leadership. That's what Schmigadoon needs. But who? Who has the moral wherewithal, the traditional how-to, the good old-fashioned all-American je ne sais quoi to stand up to these two outsiders?
Mildred Layton for mayor!
I couldn't.
Mildred Layton for mayor!
Well, I wouldn't!
Mildred Layton for
Mildred
mayor!
Mildred Layton for mayor! Okay, I'll do it. It's time to vote!
It's time to vote! La 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 la. Trace Turner.
Lisa Sheps.
I'm so happy to have you back here on the show.
I'm so happy to be back every single time.
Listen, shout out to Nicole Shiro. She's not feeling very well today. She's got teeth problems right here in River City.
We got teeth.
We got teeth right here in River City. And they hurt, and I got to go to the dentist.
Right now.
So shout out to my lovely co-host, Nicole Shiro. I hope she's feeling better.
Feel better, Nicole.
Also, shout out to Kim J. Simpson. What a wonderful... show he did on Portugal. Did you know it was Portugal Day today?
I did not, but I'm glad to celebrate.
I've been to Portugal. Have you?
Not yet.
You know what I purchased when I was in Portugal?
Was it port?
It was. A very expensive bottle of port. Well, welcome back to the show. What's going on with you?
Not much. I am devising a show right now, and I'm helping produce the Zilker Summer Musical.
You are? What are you doing for a summer musical, Singing in the Rain?
Singing in the Rain, yeah. I'm just on the producing team. And
what does that mean? What are you doing?
All kinds of invisible work to make sure that everybody has what they need and that the show is running smoothly and rehearsing even smoother.
That's good. I hear... I don't know if I'm talking out of school or not, so maybe... Maybe I won't say anything because it might be somebody told me something about rain that that I'm not supposed to say publicly.
Well, I think people just have to wait until July to find out.
Right. Yeah, well, so that's good. Singing in the Rain is one of my favorite movies.
Me too. It is in my top 10 for sure.
I don't know if I, and forgive me, Zilker, for saying this, and anybody who feels differently. Not my favorite show.
Yeah, I'm excited to see it all really come together. I've never seen it live on stage before, but yeah, the movie is very near and
dear
to my
heart. Well, here's why. The play follows the movie like 100% all the way through. And those actors who played it in the movie are so iconic.
Mm-hmm.
And I talk a lot about people properly using the word iconic, but I am using them correctly right now.
It's Gene Kelly.
They are iconic.
Yeah.
And nobody else can do that. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Nobody else can do that.
And it's such a stunning performance, especially from Debbie Reynolds. And she's 17 in the movie. It's her debut. And she just knocks it out of the park.
Amazing. All right. Let's introduce our guest today. And I'm going to introduce Olivia Jameson. Hi, Olivia. Wait, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to turn on your microphone. Try that again.
Hello, and thank you for having me.
And Abigail, pronounce your last name for me. Abiger. And why isn't your microphone saying anything? Because I turned on the wrong microphone. Try it again.
Hi, thank you for having me.
You're welcome. there was something else. Oh, here's what I need to say. It's very important.
Please say it.
Because we're going to be talking about controversial things today.
Mm-hmm.
I need to say that the opinions expressed here on Offstage and on the Air, not necessarily those of co-ops, its board of directors, its underwriters, staff, or volunteers. It's just our crazy, crazy opinion. So that song that we played, did you I know you recognize it because you said what it was, or you said the show was from.
Yes.
What is it from?
Schmigadoon.
Schmigadoon, which won the Best Tony Award. And they don't have a cast album yet.
Oh, they don't.
So that is from the TV series.
Yes.
You might have recognized that voice.
Mrs. Chenoweth.
Mrs. Chenoweth?
I don't
know. Mrs. Chenoweth. Who, by the way, in the Tony, so I've been a little, I don't know. I haven't thought that she's looked so good lately. She's been too thin for me, but she looked great on the Tonys.
Yeah. And sounded better.
Yeah. Olivia and Abigail, did y'all watch the Tonys?
We did. I did not.
You did not?
I didn't.
You didn't? Are y'all Tony? Do you like musicals?
Oh, yes.
I recently started getting into them. But
all right. Welcome
okay,
to the fold.
Okay, well, good. Welcome to the fold. We're addicted. Well, but you just have to kind of like Broadway for the Tonys. Well, feel free to throw in your opinions as we're going to spend some time talking about the Tonys.
Yes.
So one of the things that we were concerned about was, and I don't know how you felt. I know how me and I know how me felt. I know how I felt.
Mm-hmm.
And I know how Nicole felt about Pink being the host.
Yes.
We weren't crazy about the idea. Well, how did you feel
the
Tonys?
I thought she did a great job.
No. Did you hear what I said before the Tonys?
Before the Tonys, I was also skeptical and a little confused at the choice.
She did an amazing
job. She did a really wonderful job.
So I still don't know that it was the right choice, but she was good and I want to see her in a Broadway show.
Yeah, she was part of the Chicago tribute medley for 30 years of on Broadway. And
she sang the heck out of all that jazz.
Yeah, she could go into Velma Kelly tomorrow.
Yes, I totally agree. And she got the choreography. As soon as I saw her come out and she's doing the Bob Fosse, y'all can't see me doing this because
it's very accurate.
Which I can't do. The Bob Fosse, the hands behind your back. Can you do that?
Yeah, I can do that.
Yeah. Oh, you can.
Well,
maybe I can do it.
Lisa's doing a perfect job, listeners.
Abigail and Olivia are looking at us like we're crazy. They've never been on the show before. They don't know what they're getting into. So, I thought she did a great job.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that...
She sounded great, too.
She did.
That Lady Marmalade intro opening number was fantastic.
Yeah, and
she
I
still got it.
I was like, okay. So I was right. So the leading Lady Marmalade number, I was still like, having my arms crossed and not happy about the choice. So I was ready to not like it. But I did. But so for those that didn't see it, they sang a takeoff on Lady Marmalade and talked about all the leading ladies that are nominated.
Mm-hmm.
And all of those leading ladies showed up and some others. And then when Megan Thee Stallion came, I went, there's no tie to Broadway there, but there is.
She was just in Moulin Rouge.
She's just in Moulin
That's
Rouge,
right.
And she did a great job, evidently.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so
I also want to shout out Pink's core strength, because at the beginning of the number, she, from dangling in her harness that she often dangles from, picked up Neil Patrick Harris with only her legs.
Only her legs.
And sang the Elphaba riff.
Yes.
Very
About,
impressive.
I think 10 feet off the ground.
I mean,
so that if she did not hold him, that would not feel good
that
when
would
he
be
fell.
End of NPH.
And I have to say that I love NPH. I've loved that he... I loved every year he hosted.
Mm-hmm.
And Ariana Grande showed up.
Oh, yes.
Who has hosted 3 times herself.
Ariana DeBose.
Oh, Ariana DeBose.
We're waiting for Ariana Grande to host
Ariana
the Tonys.
Grande would be a great
She
choice.
Would be good.
She also hasn't been on Broadway yet, has she?
She started on Broadway. She was in 13.
Oh, that's right. She did start
on
Broadway.
As a 13-year-old.
She did start on Broadway. But I don't think there's anything she can't do.
Agreed.
So we haven't even begun talking about my list, although we did. So we had Pink and we had talked about the opening. I thought it was really good. So what stood out for you, just in general? We're talking big picture right now. Is there anything that stood out for you on these? Did you see both acts?
I saw both acts.
Okay, me too.
In terms, some of the awards were surprising to me.
What was surprising? Give me one.
Best musical to Schmigadoon, I really didn't expect at all.
Well, what did you think was going to win? Lost Boys?
I was hoping Titanic would win. Yeah, they would never do it, but that's what I was hoping for. Some Celine Dion parody.
I mean, their number was great. I liked it.
Yes.
But I didn't think there was anything in that.
I was also very surprised by Best Revival of a Musical going to Ragtime. And I hear the production is incredible, but Cats Jellicle Ball really, I think, mastered the revival in that category. It made Cats make sense, and that is a hard thing to do.
True. And what's interesting, this does not happen very often at all, and you might understand this on a personal gut level. Mm-hmm. Rarely does the director... Usually it's the director and the best musical that wins together.
Right.
Usually if a director wins, then the musical's going to win. And that did not happen this time.
Yeah, so the directors of Cats Jellicle Ball did win the Tony.
Their speech was great. Ragtime won best musical. Also, in one of the articles I read, they were talking about just the feeling of the two musicals and sort of being the time period we're in, and Ragtime is very deep and hard. Do y'all know Ragtime the musical?
Yes, I'm familiar with Ragtime.
Yeah. So it's very deep and heavy.
Right.
And Jellicle Ball is joyous.
Yeah, such a queer black joy explosion of a show.
Yep. It's hard to make me like Cats.
Yeah. I also thought during the Cats performance, it was such a beautiful moment of like actually getting to do a ball in Radio City Music Hall.
Yes, thank
you. Oh my gosh, that is so exciting.
Their number was great.
It was fantastic.
One of the numbers I despised, is despised the right word? I just, it didn't make me want to see the show at all, was The Lost Boys.
Yeah, I couldn't get into it.
Nothing about that I wanted to see.
I hear the show is like high, high, high production
and,
value.
And, two strangers carrying a cake across New York.
Yeah.
Not all that interested.
Yeah. It's cute. It looks cute. Very rom-com-y. Yeah.
And we're actually going to hear that number at the end of the show.
Oh, wonderful.
Because the cast album just came out.
Yes. Is that just a two-person musical? I can't tell. I assume there's got to be an ensemble because it's Broadway.
Well, not necessarily. The last 5 years.
Yeah, I guess.
Olivia and Abigail, what do you know about it? Nothing. I knew you didn't. And by the way, shaking your head on the radio doesn't work.
I was hoping you wouldn't call me out.
It's my favorite thing to do. It is my favorite thing to do. People don't like me for that. But what else was I going to say about that? The director and the winning thing is an odd thing.
Yeah.
And we've both experienced that actually now.
Yes, we have actually.
Oh no, local... I didn't experience it. Never mind.
On the local level.
Yeah, you did though.
Yes.
We'll not talk about what we're talking about, but I won't forgive them for that because
we're winners
somebody,
in our hearts.
You
Lisa.
Were robbed. I'm going to just say that. The other thing that that came up in one of the articles I read, I didn't think about it at the time. I was really looking forward to the Chorus Line tribute.
Uh-huh.
And the Chorus Line tribute was
Rachel Zegler.
Rachel Zegler, who I love, singing What I Did for Love, and which is a weird choice to show Chorus Line, which is about the Chorus
dancing,
Line.
Yeah.
And it's not about a single person. It's about the chorus.
Yeah, especially when... So I don't know if Chorus Line is coming back to Broadway. It seems like they want me to think that, but they did just do that big tribute like anniversary show
with
some of the original cast and a lot of other previous casts. So yeah, I don't know why more people weren't included in the number.
Well, I mean, they or choose a different number.
Yeah, or just do the opening.
Yeah, or to the opening. Da 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 chorus line. So the other interesting thing that I did not think about until I read On Stage blog. So Death of a Salesman won best play, as did the director, Joe Mantello, who evidently I've worked with before, but I don't know what I did with him.
He's everywhere.
He is everywhere, and he's amazing. What was I going to say about that?
Nathan Lane, perhaps?
Oh, Nathan Lane did not win, but we've often talked about on the show, you know, Death of a Salesman has been revived like 5 times, and usually whoever plays Willie Loman gets the award.
Right.
Didn't get this time. But famously or infamously, one of the producers, the lead producer, is Scott Rudin. Do you remember the kerfuffle with Scott Rudin?
Yes, he would throw things at people.
He was abusive and
very
He was canceled from Broadway. And he's now coming back. This is the second show that he's been lead producer on. But when they won and everybody came up, guess who wasn't there?
Scott Rudin.
Guess who wasn't mentioned?
Scott Rudin.
Yeah, so it's interesting that they, it seemed like it was a choice.
Yes, and honestly, I didn't want to hear from Scott Rudin.
No, me neither.
It was better hearing from Nathan Lane.
I agree. I agree. Let's see. Well, we've almost hit. Anything else? Well, I do want to highlight on, you can see by going to offstageonair.com and clicking in the link, the there's several links, but one of the ones that we didn't do is Helen Shaw did a video update on her thoughts. Helen Shaw is the New York Times head theater critic, on her thoughts of the Tony Awards. And she and I agree like almost 100%.
Wow.
So if you want to know how I feel, go click on that link. That's it. The only other thing that I want to talk about was an interesting thing that Michael Arden, right director?
For Lost Boys?
One is lighting designer. He got lighting design credit.
Oh,
yeah,
interesting.
Which I found interesting. So I need to find out the actual. Oh, and that was in, I believe that was in the in Act One. Yeah, I think it's interesting that. And I wonder, you know, I wonder how much he did in lighting design, because when I direct shows, I don't know whether lighting designers like me or hate me, but I'm very active in the lighting, and I make my wants and needs abundantly clear.
Well, from what I understand, Michael Arden founded a company that is more about pouring more money into the production value of a show to really like give it that oomph. So I know that he is like very heavily involved in the design world, and from maybe Happy Ending I could assume the same thing, because that show was very technologically dense and had a lot of cool stuff going on.
It did,
yeah,
but from what I understand,
same thing I feel with Lost Boys and maybe Happy Ending. I don't know how they're gonna tour that.
They're not.
They're gonna have to reimagine the whole thing.
Well, but then they toured The Outsiders, and that's pretty technically.
That's true. They just dropped The Rain.
Did they?
That's what I heard.
I thought they did it.
I don't remember. Couldn't tour with The Rain.
Maybe not. I mean, certainly not every house can deal with it. All right, you know, we've like really eaten up our time with the Tonys, but I thought it was overall, I'm happy with it.
Yeah.
How did you feel about how they showed the plays? They showed little mini documentaries about the play nominees.
I liked it. I was thinking today in the shower that I wish we got more.
It's my best thinking.
More show out of the plays, like the musicals get such a good feature, and I would love.
Well, they
for
used
the plays.
To do it.
Yeah.
There was a few years where they did a little piece of the play. I liked this year. One of the articles, the best and worst, they pointed that as one of the worst things, but I thought it was good. I liked it. And the other thing I liked, and they did it in Act One, I think they did it in everything, but especially the design awards and the people that aren't readily recognizable, they show the picture.
Yes, I did like that.
And I loved how to see it put a face with. And wait, we can't go away without talking about Queen Jean.
Oh, yes. Oh, my gosh.
Do y'all know who Queen Jean is? Queen Jean was the costume designer on Liberation and
Cat's Jellicle Ball.
And she is a trans black woman. And she
is the
first trans black woman or trans.
I think she's the first trans woman or first trans person to win a Tony Award.
Yes, that we know of.
That we know of.
Yes, true.
Openly trans.
I think so. But pretty amazing. And she's just amazing.
Yes, those costumes are gorgeous.
Yeah. All right. Let's figure out what we want to talk about here. Kennedy Center. Are y'all following the Kennedy Center? No. You know what we're talking about? You don't know what we're talking about.
I do not.
Our president, I won't spend a lot of time on this because most everybody knows, changed the name of the Kennedy Center to the Donald J. Trump.
Oh, yes.
Kennedy Center. Mm-hmm. A judge made him, and he put his name up on the building. They've taken it down.
Yeah.
It's gone.
Mm-hmm. Thank
God. I love that.
Phew.
Well, still doesn't solve the problem.
No.
The board is still, he's still the chair of the board. He still filled the board with all of his people. Let's see. So that's the Kennedy Center. We talked about Fallen Angels, which is the show that has, what's her name and what's her name? Rose Byrne and who? Darn it. Hold on. I'm going to have to look it up here.
Can't recall. I love Rose Byrne.
Who doesn't?
Very
love
funny
Rose
lady.
Byrne? Anyway, whoever. Wait. It almost came to me. Somebody will email me or text me. Kelly O'Hara.
Yes, of course.
So our listeners will know that they streamed the show last Friday night, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very upset because I wouldn't be able to see it because I had a show at my theater.
Mm-hmm.
It's now streaming.
Oh, great.
On Broadway HD through June 19th.
Okay, perfect.
So I'm going to up my membership to Broadway HD and see it. They're supposed to be funny.
Yeah, I imagine.
Yep. All right. Last thing I'll talk about real quick. How do we feel? Have y'all seen Hadestown?
I have seen Hadestown.
Yay!
Have y'all?
I have not, but that's on my list.
You have not. You saw it four times?
No. Yeah, sorry, yes. I have. I first listened to the full playlist.
Yeah.
Before I was like, oh, let's go watch it.
Yeah.
Let me ask you to get right up on that microphone, please. So they made a pro shot of it,
mm-hmm,
with the original cast in the West End,
which is where I saw it originally before they transferred to New
really?
York.
Cool. But you didn't see it because it was the Broadway cast in the West End
yes,
doing this.
The principals were all the same, but the ensemble was different.
Correct. But they did a pro shot of it,
mm-hmm,
and
it's coming out next month.
In July, I believe.
I'm very excited. I love that we're kind of getting back into a pro shot era from like Merrily We Roll Along to this Hadestown one. Like, I think, honestly, if you win the Tony Award for Best Play or Best Musical, you should just get a pro shot as part of that award.
I frankly think they should pro shot everyone.
Yes.
The problem is, and the reason why I think, I'm getting into the producer's head, the reason why they shot the West End is it's cheaper to do it there.
Yes,
it makes it, you know, in this country, it's very expensive to do those pro shots. But one of the things that's good about the Hamilton, I mean, I love Hamilton.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm mad about, Hamilton single-handedly changed the pricing structure of Broadway,
yes,
so that most people can't afford it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of angers me. But when they released that pro shot and they realized that that doesn't cannibalize ticket sales,
mm-hmm,
which is their biggest fear, if we make it available to anybody, then nobody will come see the Broadway show. Well, we've learned that that's not the case.
That's not true. Yeah.
So, anyway, they just released a trailer for Hadestown. Mm-hmm. It looks great.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go to offstageonair.com and click on the link and see that, or you could probably just search YouTube.
Yes. That's what I do.
All right. The winner of the... Oh, wait, hold on. Am I wrong? Did I do something bad? Stand by.
Standing by.
Stand by. No, I didn't. I did something good.
Yay.
I got nervous anyway, it doesn't matter. People don't need to get into my mind. The winner of the best revival was... No, I did do it wrong. Oh, okay. I wanted Jellicle Ball to win.
Oh, and you wrote down Jellicle Ball.
And I wrote, well, I didn't, that we're going to listen to Jellicle Ball. So we're not hearing the winner. We'll just call the runner up, or they should be winner. Angelica Ball, which they also don't have a cast album.
Right.
So this is from Cats, the original, and this is Invitation to the Jellicle Ball. We'll be right back.
Jellicle cats come out tonight. Jellicle cats come one, come all. The Jellicle.
We are back. You are listening to Offstage and on the Air with Trace and Lisa.
Hello.
We could have talked forever.
We really could.
Yep. But we can't, because we're now going to talk to our guests about why the real reason why they're here is they are in a production, City Theater Companies, of A Raisin in the Sun by Lorraine Hansberry. And we have Olivia Jameson. Hi, Olivia.
Hello. Thank you again for having us.
Thank you. And Abigail Abajor.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Great. I've never heard of A Raisin in the Sun. I've heard, of course I have.
You'd be surprised.
Olivia just looked at me like, what?
No, you're good. I'd never heard about it before I was on the show.
Seriously?
Yeah. I'm from Nigeria.
Okay.
Yeah, oh, wow.
So, yeah.
And you're young. which would be another thing, because it came out in the 50s.
Yes. I believe so, yes.
But, you know, there was Clybourne Park, which came out in the early 2000s, which
yes.
is kind of a
sequel.
Well, I would say it's a tangential show. So one of you tell us about Raisin in the Sun. What's it about?
Well, it's, like you said, takes place in 1950s Chicago, a small apartment, and focuses on the younger family. The matriarch of the family being Mama, who's played by Kendra Franklin. I'm not sure. She's just a very talented actor in the Austin scene. She's the matriarch of the family and the patriarch. Her husband recently passed away. Mm-hmm. And in the home is her son, Walter, his wife, Mama's daughter, Benita, who's played by Abigail here with us. And then their son, Travis. So you have three generations in this small cramped apartment, all with one or different dreams banking on the life insurance money that's coming from the passing away of their father. So it's just a lot of tension, contingencies, and it's a really emotional and heavy show. But what I think is really great, depending on how you see it, is how prevalent it is today, even 60 years later.
Yep.
It's just a glimpse into the pretty much typical Black household. It's struggle after struggle that's just been going on for years.
Yeah, I was going to ask, like, how, the relevancy of, like, doing it today and, like, how potent it might be.
Oh, very much so. So I play Ruth Younger. She's the wife to Walter. And coincidentally, I have an 11-year-old son, so he is able to play my son Travis in the play.
Wow. So your son is in the show?
Yes, he is.
Amazing.
It's a family affair.
And by the way, you don't look like you could have an 11-year-old son.
Oh, thank you.
I just need to say that out loud.
Yes, it's been a journey, and he's just, you know, children are just so perceptive and astute, and they're sponges. They soak up everything.
Yes.
So we have these, when he's not too tired at the end of rehearsals, deep conversations into, well, what was this about, or why did they react this character react this way? So it sparks conversation.
That's beautiful. Sometimes I will say child actors kind of freak me out a little bit, because they have such access to their emotions and they're so game for anything that they can just do it. And I'm just like, whoa, a lot of adult actors can't even pull this off, and they treat it like it's nothing.
Which is true. And kids are, you know, accept things at face value much easier than adults can.
Has he performed on stage before? Is this his
debut?
He's
done one thing before. He was in Finding Nemo. Junior, the musical.
Adorable.
Well, now he's going to get the bug, and we're never not seeing
him. He's already
again.
Asking me, what are we doing after this?
Oh my God.
Abigail, tell us about your character.
Hi. My character's name is Benita Younger. I play the younger sister of Walter Younger and the daughter of Mama.
You're a younger, younger.
Yes, I'm a younger, younger.
Okay.
Yes, younger, younger Benita. She is very headstrong. She feels like she's the one who's going to make it out, which she honestly is. Everyone in her community is expecting her to make it out, to become the next generation, to lead the next generation outward. But she's also stuck in this cycle of trying to find who she truly is. That's why, like her mother says, I don't like it when you flit from thing to thing. And she answers, I don't flit. I'm trying to find myself. Mm-hmm. And honestly, as a 20-year-old playing a 20-year-old, I kind of understand that.
Yeah.
When I read those lines, all I could think about was the night before I got the email for getting the role. I was like, I don't know what I'm doing with my life, but I'm finding it. And then I got the role and I was like, I kind of know what I'm doing with my life. We're going to keep going. But no, she's a great human being. Sure, she's headstrong, but she's also really loving. She loves to be there for her family. She does reach a breaking point because she's human. Everybody mm-hmm. reaches a breaking point. Mama, Walter, Ruth, everyone's going to reach a breaking point. But she's always going to have that love for her family, which is one of the reasons I really love her as a person and as a member of the family.
And yeah. Not to interrupt you, Abigail, but what I really love about Walter and Benita's dynamic is that sibling rivalry that they have mm-hmm. that may at times come across as a little too much, but underneath it all, everyone just wants the best for each other. Mm-hmm. But because of the frustrations of their situation and not being able to achieve their dreams the conventional way, or like just being able to go out and in Walter's case, pitch a business idea to, you know, a board of directors. You know, he's at the bottom of the totem pole and he's just trying to claw his way out. Mm-hmm. And his Benita is actually the only member of the family to, like she said, make something of herself.
She's getting out.
She's going to be a doctor. Mm-hmm. And it just seems so out of reach for everyone else. It's heartbreaking at times. Mm-hmm.
So this is amazing. So this is directed by Lisa Jordan, who I don't know. Tell us a little bit about this production. What is it that makes this special? Tell us about the process.
Lisa has actually produced this show before in 2013, I believe she said. But this time around, there is an additional scene that's included that I don't believe was even used in the original Broadway production. There are two omitted scenes, but we're just including one with Mrs. Johnson, who is another tenant of the apartment that they live in. That scene adds another layer of tension and really brings to light the really more issues that's coming with moving out mm-hmm. and moving into this new neighborhood.
Yeah.
Bouncing off of that. So just to reiterate the question, you're asking what the show is about, correct?
I'm sort of saying, well, tell us about this process and how you've enjoyed it. Is there anything that maybe sets this production off and, you know, why people would want to come and see it?
Okay. I'll start by talking about Lisa's directing process. It's not intense in any way.
I have to disagree.
You know, let me say, when I first came on to the cast, I was thinking about the movies I had watched and how intense directors can be, High School Musical intense. And then I show up and she's like, hi, Abby. And that's just how it's been since the beginning. Uh-huh. Sure, I can call her like middle of the night because Lisa doesn't sleep till 4 a.m., 5 a.m. Call her in the middle of the night and ask questions about my character. That's the most intense it's ever really been to me. But the process has been very free. You've been free to like learn about your character, research about your character. If you have questions, you can come to her. Process of set blocking has just been try it. If you don't like it,
we'll try
something else. And she's always been very open to pushing and just being free on stage. That's one thing she does enjoy doing. Sure, if it doesn't look good, Lisa's gonna pull out the let's do it like this. Yes, right. You know? But again, she's the director, so that's kind of her job.
All directors named Lisa are very good.
I have heard this.
Yeah, but the process has been great. It's especially because we kind of got ready for it in about a month. We started in May and now it's June and we're opening, you know, this week. And it's been a process. It's been a great one. It's been a very enlightening one. The research that went into making this project possible is big. Like I have the 50 pages of Lisa's research. Sure. There's a lot of research that goes into it. And it's just, especially because the topics that we're talking about, grief, overcoming, growth, all of that, like she said, they're very important to the time that we're living in currently. Yep. And today, and especially the first act, we're jumping right into it. I was so surprised. Like I said, I had never been on The Raisin in the Sun, never read the book, never saw the movie. I have seen multiple versions of the show now at this point. Mm-hmm. But first act, when Walter opens up and he goes, eat your dang eggs and all of that, and he's just going off. I was like, we're in the first act. There's no easing into it.
As soon as the lights come up, you're just instantly in the struggle in this small, cramped apartment. Mm-hmm. And working with Andy, the producer, to create this
Andy
space.
Burkowski?
Yes, mm-hmm. Sorry, Andy Burkowski. Because he has such an intricate set design. Initially, we were thinking we would have more of the platform to use, but the apartment feels small. Yeah. You can just feel the tension as soon as the lights come up.
A real pressure cooker on stage.
Yes.
I've hit her ironing board multiple times because I forget where I am.
That's some family tension. Yeah.
Unfortunately, we are out of time. Tell us when the show opens.
The show opens this Friday at 8 p.m.
Okay. And do you know when it closes?
It closes on the 28th. That's Sunday at 3 p.m.
And where can folks go to get more information about
CityTheaterAustin.org.
Well, thank you all so much for being on the show.
thank you so much.
Wonderful. That was Olivia Jameson and Abigail Abujor, both of City Theater Company's production of A Raisin in the Sun, playing June 12th through 28th at City Theater. For more information, you may visit CityTheaterAustin.org. And I don't know if you know it, everything's a musical. There is the musical Raisin. Based on Raisin in the Sun, and this is a song, It's a Deal, sung by Joe Morton, who, if Nicole were here, she would call him Papa Pope. We will be right back.
Time for making your move. Everything is awesome.
We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Trace and Lisa.
Hello.
We've had a change of the guard here. We have two new people joining us. We have a Roy Lazowitz.
That's
hi.
Hi.
And Justin Smith.
Hello.
You know, I forgot. We now add the middle name, but I forgot what it was.
It's either the middle initial G or my middle name Garrett. I have not fully decided.
Yeah, Justin
yet.
Garrett Smith. We decided before our last time together it was Garrett.
Perfect.
So, it's changed day by day.
Yeah, I didn't write this. Yeah, so we're going to just do our little Garrett. Local roundup before we get started.
All right.
And unfortunately, we're not going to be able to devote enough time to it as I wanted to. But we just had the Austin Theater Critics Awards
on Monday
night, and I was there.
I was there.
Yes, because y'all were nominated.
Yes.
Did not win. I'm sorry.
Did not win. That's okay.
It's okay. Me neither.
The victory was my alter ego.
Hey, I wasn't nominated. So,
So we can commiserate together.
You did show up, though. Because
to the awards?
Yes, because
did I?
There was a special award given to
Minerva,
and she did a little slideshow. And Amy and the Orphans was all over.
That's very sweet.
As was Parade.
Very sweet. And Joe congrats Lozano. To our Parade winners.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, just selfishly, CB Feller, so well deserved.
Yes, very much so.
And Adam Roberts and Dr. Ellie Jarrett Shadows won for music direction. And that's great.
Nick Hunter, too.
Nick Hunter won.
Yes. He was so excited. He came over to my house to pick up his award. He's very excited. The awards happened, and Best Musical was
Jesus Christ Superstar
for Summerstock Austin. Mm. And Best Play was, I got it.
It was Fire Raisers.
Thank you. From Hidden Room Theater.
Yeah, that's right. From Hidden Room. And I was so happy to see Beth Burns up there because they always did such wonderful work.
Yeah, really
cool
stuff.
And they disappeared from the scene for a while and they're back. So that's good. But anyway, the Critics Awards is now a program of ATXTheater.org. And if you haven't checked out ATXTheater.org, you may want to. The website is easy to find because it's the same as their name.
ATXTheater.org.
Yeah, ATXTheater.org. you can join and get on the mailing list, and you will get what's going on in the theater community, a weekly list of the things that you could see. And they don't inundate you with emails. So, what was that?
It depends.
So realize the difference between if you're a producer, you're getting more emails than people that are signing up. There. So I think maybe as producer,
they got to get the word out. Yeah. I get it.
Exactly.
I'm in support of it.
Yeah, because that's one of the things that Austin needs to learn, that there is theater outside of one very large regional theater here in town.
In fact, so very much theater.
It's always very jarring until you're in that room.
Right.
Yes.
And then you remember that
you see everybody. You see how many people there are.
So many people come to our theater, and I always talk about how you found us and whatever. And then when I'm out and about, I'm talking about my theater because that's all I do.
Right.
And most people go, oh, God, I've never heard of you. Oh, there are theaters in Austin? Sure. I did not know that.
Yeah.
So we get that a lot. So Critics Awards happen every year. And it is, I was meant to write down all the critics' names and give them a shout out, but I didn't, so I can't. But it's Statesman, Broadway World, CTX Live Theater, The Chronicle,
Sun News,
Austin Arts Watch. Thank you. That was
Bat
the one
City.
I was going to get.
Bat City.
I don't think they were there last. This
they
time.
Weren't there.
Oh,
last.
They weren't.
They were not.
Yeah. Got it.
But they, I.
But they write
seen...
reviews every once in a while.
Yeah. Every once in a while, not very often. I haven't
she
seen.
Currently
them
has
a
broken hand.
Oh well,
who's a Bat City person?
Yeah, cannot write reviews.
That would make some sense.
Yeah. You know what? They do have systems where you can use your voice.
Dictate.
It's called voice recognition. All right, let's just do our list because we're running out of time. I'm going to start, and then you're going next.
Great.
Glass Half Full, it's their last weekend of Frutos de la Muerte, playing at Ground Floor Theater.
Next is Austin Playhouse's Emma Bombeck at Wits End through June 14th.
And also...
Oh, and Seared, playing from June 5th to the 28th.
Alchemy Theater's got The Robber Bridegroom. That show won Best Musical Director, so sounds like it might be worth seeing. It plays through June 14th.
Penfold Theater is restaging Vincent, playing from the 4th to the 21st.
Georgetown Palace Theater just opened up Jesus Christ Superstar. It plays through July 5th. They also have Every Brilliant Thing that opens on the 19th, playing through July 19th, and that's going to be starring
Jacob Rosenbaum,
who was in Parade. And
falsettos,
amongst other things.
Mm-hmm.
Someone named Dirty Gold Theater is doing Insomnia Cafe from the 4th to the 13th.
You just heard them. City Theater is doing A Raisin in the Sun, June 12th through the 28th.
And Ground Floor Theater is doing Katsura Sunshine Rakugo, a Japanese storytelling, and on the 29th of June.
And Zach Theater has Annie coming up on June 23rd through August 8th. Very quickly, I'm going to go through the auditions. Georgetown Palace is auditioning for And Then There Were None on the 14th. Zahir Productions has got The Egg on the 21st. Austin Rainbow Theater is auditioning for The Recipe Box on the 15th. City Theater is doing Avenue Q. I'm very happy about this. Their auditions are on the 16th and 17th. Penfold Theater, Every Christmas Story Ever Told and Then Some on June 23rd. And Coda Land, I spelled that right. Coda Land is auditioning for their new theme park on June 12th. And then today in theater history, we're going to run through this so fast to make sure we have time to talk. But my thing has gone back to sleep.
Oh, no.
Why did this happen?
Uh-oh.
Why did this happen? Okay, here we go. Today in theater history. Theater history. If I say it enough, it will show up on my...
One more time.
There, I found
theater
it.
Theater history.
Okay. Birthdays. Gina Gershon, Nick Adams, Stephen DeRosa, Frederick Lowe, and one, Judy Garland. Guess how many Broadway shows Judy Garland did?
None.
Well, she's got 4 Broadway credits, but they were for her specials.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I was surprised.
Yeah, never been in a Broadway show.
Never been in a Broadway show. You knew that.
I think I did.
Okay. Well, you did. You said it very fast.
I did, yeah.
These shows opened. Torchong's Trilogy opened in 1982.
Oh.
California Suite, the original, opened in 1976, the year I graduated high school. And She Loves Me, the 1993 revival. This was the one with, oh my God, I just lost his name. I'll tell you. But we're going to listen to him sing because we're going to go out with A Trip to the Library from She Loves Me.
Wonderful.
We'll be right back.
There we go.
And there was this dear, sweet, clearly respectable.
We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Trace.
That's me.
And Roy and Justin.
Hello.
And we're now going to reintroduce Roy and Justin because for the real reason they're here, we'll talk about Dirty Gold Theater's production of Insomnia Cafe. It sounds like the story of my life. That was a question.
Yeah,
and the founder and artistic director of Dirty Gold Theater, Roy Lazarowitz.
Yes, hello.
Hello, welcome back.
Thank you.
You've been on the show before.
I have.
I thought you had. And Justin Garrett Smith.
Hello.
One of the actors. One of the actors. Roy.
Yes.
Tell us about, did you write this as well? No, you didn't.
I did not. Yeah, I did not.
I'm going to tell you didn't because I've got it here in my notes.
It is written by local playwright and longtime friend of mine, Bree Beats. Bree and I
love alliterative names.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Me
nothing
too.
Nothing beats Bree Beats.
Ah,
hey. Perfect. Good tagline.
She and I have known each other forever. We came up together doing sketch and improv, and we were very used to doing a lot with very little. So when I started Dirty Gold, she was one of the first people I spoke to about, like, hey, we have more resources now. So if you have anything, let me know. And she brought Insomnia Cafe to us.
Well, tell us about Insomnia Cafe. What is it?
Yeah, it is a three-person show. It is about two people who are obsessed with the show Friends. And they desperately want to recreate episodes of the show in their apartment, but they're missing the perfect Chandler Bing. Mm. So they kidnap someone who they believe is the perfect Chandler Bing. And that person is...
That is me.
G. Smith.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Could he be any more like Chandler?
Exactly.
Exactly.
That's good. I read that and it sounds like a lot of fun. And so what makes you the perfect, what's your character's name?
My character's name is Patrick Dwyer.
Okay, well, that's close to being.
Pretty close.
Exactly, right.
Yeah.
Very close. What makes him the perfect Chandler? I think what's not obvious about Chandler is what makes him the perfect Chandler. He's somebody that... is deeply insecure and lonely and feels like he doesn't have a lot to offer the world. And because of that, he sort of tries to make up for it by being funny, having one-liners, being charming, that kind of thing.
So when I hear the description of Insomnia Cafe, I feel like it's going to be a rip-roaring comedy. Is that what it is?
I would not call it a rip-roaring comedy.
No.
I will say Sabrina Wallace of Broadway World did review the show, and in the title of the article, the question was asked, how dark is too dark? So I think that is a good way to kind of put... When I read the script for the first time, I thought I would like to make Blue Velvet the sitcom. The
David
funny. Yeah, so yeah.
That is kind of what we're going for, and I think we've accomplished that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So if you love Friends, there's tons of Friends references. There's so much Friends in it. But if you like something maybe a little darker, we've got something for you as well.
Oh, there you go.
What if you don't like Friends?
Do we have does Smelly Cat show up?
I had never seen the show.
Oh.
Smelly never seen Friends.
I had never seen the show Friends. Justin hadn't really seen the
show. How did y'all avoid that?
Did you do it? Did you see it for research?
I ended up watching, thank God, for YouTube.
Yes.
Because there's a lot of compilations of best moments. So I've seen a lot of compilations now. Kyle Romero, who's also in the show as well, had never seen it either.
Wow.
And Lena Long, who's the other actress in the show, loves the show.
Find that amazing, although not surprising if I really think about it, because you know it's of an age.
Sure.
It is notoriously homogenistic.
Oh yes.
In its casting.
Yes.
And we look at that now and go, what were we thinking?
Totally.
Yes. That is talked about in the show.
Good,
as well.
Good. Yeah. It should be talked about.
Absolutely.
But if you watch it, I mean, it wasn't even a question watching
it. Right.
And I still love watching it, but at the same time, I go, gee.
They wouldn't make it now.
They missed some things that they could have done.
There's very much, the show is really about the death of monoculture.
Mm.
It's about isolation. It's about a fear of change. So something that I did in my research was really kind of look at Friends as like the cultural impact of the show And I think the series finale of that show, 41 million people watched it. And that was really the last
41 million and one, because I watched
there
it.
There you go.
Yes.
That's really the last time that, like, us as a society came together to all watch something all at once that wasn't a sporting event or something political.
Just a sitcom.
Just a sitcom.
Yeah, and it's interesting because Friends is so, like, the modern model of the sitcom and was so pioneering of what we understand as a sitcom.
Sure.
And for that to also be the death of monoculture is really interesting.
Yeah. 100%.
So this show has already opened.
Yes.
And you're at the stage, Austin.
We are.
How have things been going? You said you got a good review from Sabrina.
Yeah, yeah. I think things
which
been going
when you
really
talk
well.
About her, you really need to speak in an Italian accent.
Sabrina.
I think things have been going really well. I'll let Justin kind of talk more as the actor involved in the production. It's I'll say that the set is very large, larger than I thought it was going to be.
Well, so was their set.
Yes, yes, exactly.
But you should have talked to the director.
Yeah.
Because he has some control.
I should have talked to him, yeah. But we also
who designed
tons.
Your set?
Patrick Neese designed our set, who's worked with Bottle Alley before. I've worked with him for years. He's really wonderful. But would you kind of let him go? He goes.
Okay.
So there are a lot of set pieces. There's a lot of unpredictability when it comes to it. And Justin has had some experience with the unpredictability as well.
Yeah.
That sounds like a story.
Well,
we barely have time for, but please.
There's been the show has so many moving pieces and so much high energy in different moments that someone could flip backwards in a chair, which happened one night. I was tied to a chair, flailed my legs, and just flew backwards over the chair. Got to keep rolling, kind of a thing. So there's a lot of that kind of stuff happening in the show at all times that we're.
He was completely fine, by the way.
Yeah, totally, totally good.
I was going to say, my stage manager senses are tingling.
Yeah, he's
very resourceful. Yeah, my theater run-in is thinking about my insurance policy.
Yeah.
Well, great. You're playing now. When do you close?
We close this Saturday, the 13th.
You do?
Yes, we have shows.
Oh, good. My
Wednesday,
notes say
Thursday,
the 28th,
Friday,
so I was wrong.
Yes. Yeah, we're just doing two weekends.
Okay.
We come back. We've been off the last 2 days. We have a show tonight, then Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Okay.
No Sunday.
Well, great. So where can folks go to get more information?
Yeah, just go to dirtygoldtheater.com/shows.
Great. Well, thank you all so
Absolutely.
Much for being
thank
on
thank
the
you
show.
So much
Best
for
of
having
luck
us.
With your last
thank
weekend.
You. Thank you.
Thank you.
And it was great to see you both.
Yeah.
That was Roy Lazarwitz and Justin Garrett Smith of Dirty Gold Theater's production of Insomnia Cafe, playing now through the 13th. For more information, dirtygoldtheater.com. And I thought for sure there would be some reference to Friends on a musical somewhere. Couldn't find one. So I took some liberties. I went with the capture and the kidnapping. So this is gender swapped. Capture the Girl from the musical Dessa Rose, which just seems so depressing. But here it goes. Capture the Girl. We'll be right back.
To capture the girl.
We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Trace and Lisa.
Hello, hello.
That was a bit of fun. We're out of time.
I know. We talked so much.
We did. We did. And it tends to happen.
It does.
It
especially the
happen.
Two of us. We get a little too chatty sometimes.
There's no such thing as too chatty. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yes, of course.
And,
anytime.
We love having you here. You're part of the family.
I love being here.
Okay. And we talked about Two Strangers Carry a Cake Across New York. They just released a cast album. So we're going to play actually the very first number that we actually saw on the Tonys.
Yes.
It's called New York. And I do that because I like New York.
Same thing.
Stand by for Tracy Schultz. Guess what he's going to tell you? Do you know?
I don't know. Tell me.
He's going to tell you what's new because that's the name of his show. We will see you next week when we look at what's happening offstage and on the air. Bye,
bye
everybody.
Bye.
New York. I'm already talking the talk in New York. I'm already popping the cork cause I'm ready. I'm ready to be in New York, are they ready? Are they ready for me in New York? Is that Times Square?
Nope, that's Queens.
Awesome. She's called the Big Apple, no one knows why. But she's my kind of town and I'm her kind of street smart guy. I'll stroll up the Broadway, I'll order a beer. I'll scream at the Statue of Liberty. Hey, lady, I'm walking here, my home. The city of stories where everything's 70 stories high. Where everyone kisses their blues goodbye.